Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. And Daniel, it's good to see you today.
How are you today, Dr. Paul?
Doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
I want to talk a little bit today about a conspiracy.
Yes.
Maybe it's not a real conspiracy because it's probably true, you know. And it has to do with the way taxpayers' money is being spent. And, and there was a meeting held just 2 days ago, and it wasn't so official. It was a staffers, and they had a briefing with the State Department officials, and it came out in the open. I think there was a knowledge about this, and they wanted a report. But the members of Congress that signed to me didn't attend, and this had to do with taxpayers' money being used to influence the propaganda war against Iran, and literally using taxpayers' money, and they have pretty evidence, and the State Department didn't deny it. And this of course is one step further than just spying on people and listening to people. This is finding out who the people they disagree with, and then they go in and they try to wreck their reputation. They try to destroy their lives. They use money to promote an agenda. And, you know, in this effort, what they were doing, it was impressive that Forbes magazine and who was the other one?
Voice of America.
Yeah, they were all being used in, using this money, and they most of them quit because they must have figured it out, or maybe it became more knowledgeable. Daily Caller was involved
with
that too. But they were very much involved in stirring up, and the targets were people who had the audacity to suggest that the administration policy for Iran was not really in the best interest of the United States. I guess they haven't discovered us yet. So, but who knows? That's what they did. And then they came in and they were pretty vicious, and it lasted for a long time, a lot of money. And who knows? Could this be the tip of the iceberg? Could there be a lot of organizations like this going on? And you know, for an administration that essentially got into office emphasizing fake news, it's sort of a little weird now that there's a lot of fake news and lies to perpetuate, you know, a policy. That doesn't mean that everybody in the administration knew exactly what was going on or whether or not the orders came from top down, but it shouldn't happen. It's dangerous. It should be stopped, and they ought to come clean because this is not, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. It only happens when you have runaway foreign intervention, other countries, you're trying to maintain an empire, then you have to do anything or everything to make sure the propaganda is out there to continue the support for the empire. And telling lies and doing things like this, and these are essentially lies they were telling in order to build up the animosity toward Iran. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe this will be dropped and never mentioned again, but it was good that this story did get out yesterday.
Yeah, and it should be a bigger scandal. People should be more concerned about it. You know, the U.S. State Department gives a grant, we're talking about $1.5 million here, gives a grant to an organization purportedly to fight fake news coming from the Iranian regime, but in fact what they did is they fought against Americans who were opposing war and conflict with Iran. And this is called the Iran Disinformation Project, and we have the website up here. Here's what they're about, the Iran Disinformation Project. Exposes and counters the nefarious influence of one of the world's few remaining totalitarian regimes. You can see how aggressive the project is. It's obviously very much in favor of regime change. And as you scroll down to the last sentence, Iran Disinformation Project was launched in late 2018 and is funded by the U.S. Department of State's Global Engagement Center. But what did they actually do, Dr. Paul? They didn't counter Iran's lies. In fact, they behaved like the Iranian government, the Chinese government, the Venezuelan government is accused of behaving. They attacked their own people for the audacity of expressing different views. They went on to Twitter, and if there was an American who wasn't so gung-ho about the war, they would attack him. You're in the pay. Not only just an average Joe, we're talking about big-time journalists, Washington Post journalists, even James Resnian, I think, who was imprisoned in Iran. He's not in favor of violent regime change. They attacked him. So this is what they did. They used our money to attack us, to try to silence the debate, and it should be a huge scandal.
Should be. Now, Iran disinformation is the larger group, but they had a contractor. But if we were doing an investigation, or if somebody had done the investigation, they should have been reassured, because this money was merely going to e-collaborative for civic education.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
They're good people. But obviously, there's support there, and it would be real easy for us to understand why, you know, the Secretary of State would know a lot about this. I mean, this is something that Pompeo has been working on, and of course Bolton would be involved. The administration has too many people there. So where it started and where it stopped, but the president does have responsibilities for this, because you know, this is one thing he's been consistent. He's been bashing Iran, you know, before the election, and give him credit, he's consistently doing it now. He got out of the nuclear pact. And what is strange about that, we get out of the pack, the Europeans want to be in the pack, they have no guts, they won't stay in the pack, and even though we're out, we still tell what they should do to rein in Iran, we have more responsibility or more authority.
Yeah, we're still in it, it's amazing. But you touch on something that's really important to flesh out a little bit here, I think, and that is how these granting processes go. This is how it works. This is how they hide controversial projects from the eye of the public, who is forced to pay for them. As you point out, the main contractor is the E-Collaborative for Civic Education. It sounds good. It's actually run by an Iranian-American activist. She's a regime change activist. And her partner in this is the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, which is a super hawkish, neocon-infested, very close to the right wing in Israel think tank in Washington. The two of them are together, but they're just doing civic education. So what they do, Dr. Paul, is they'll have a subgrantee, and that subgrantee has a lot less scrutiny on it because it doesn't even list on the State Department sites. Nobody knows who it is, and that's the Iran Disinformation Project. So this is how they hide it. This is something that I've been really interested in a long time. Follow the money. And we need a lot more transparency, not only in the grantee, but in every single sub-grantee that gets anything out of that State Department grant. Really, there should be, I hate to say there ought to be a law, but Congress should act, and they should say there needs to be transparency. We need to have one website which tells everything so Americans can go and look and see exactly what's being done in their name.
You know, there has to be a lot of gullibility in our media accepting this information. This individual, Alavi, it was Alavi, he didn't even exist.
Yeah.
He was an imaginary person who wrote all these articles, and it was for years they were doing this, and now I guess some of the outlets got suspicious of it, or they got caught or something. It was just a made-up name, and that's the kind of thing that we fund. And there should be an outrage. I mean, it should be an outrage from the very beginning. How can we have an administration that plays on the role properly of too much fake news out there? The political fake news, I'm sure, is what they were talking about. But what about this strategic fake news that has to do with, you know, preparing people to fight another country? So it's something that I wish we could do more to call attention to it, but unfortunately, there's not going to be a whole lot of people find this out. I hope some of our viewers will help spread this message and at least show this to people that what's really going on. Because even though we get very, very few criticisms from our website and from our program about our policies with Iran, because we just want to stay out of that mess. And but every once in a while, there'll be some that, they're bad people, you know, and we have to deal with them. And when you look at the evidence, I mean, what kind of a threat are they? Are they really on the verge of having a nuclear weapon? You know, it goes on, and yet people will buy into that. And how do people like Pompeo and others get to these high positions if the people cared at all. So maybe someday the people will wake up, congressional people will get more support, those who object to it already, and maybe put some pressure, on the administration to get rid of the people who really believes in this stuff. Others are back and forth and up and down. What's best today? What's best for tomorrow? What's good for jobs? We got to sell these weapons. pure pragmatism, which is very dangerous because it sounds so practical,
Yeah.
It's a shame, but I think this is a very important item. And it demonstrates, how our government operates. And it shouldn't be that I'm shocked, because this is this false propaganda, war propaganda, the lying and things. They lie us into war.
All the time.
And we've mentioned many times, the bigger the empire, the more lies you have, and lying is morally proper and acceptable when you have an empire, because defending the empire becomes the key issue.
Yeah, and you talk about our detractors saying we got to deal with Iran. But how ironic that their idea of dealing with Iran is to start behaving exactly like they accuse the Iranian government of being, suppressing free speech, forcing you to have only one view. That's what they accuse. The other thing I was going to comment on this, and we talked about it a little bit off camera, is that neither of us believe that it was Trump or Pompeo sitting there saying, hey, I got a great idea, let's fund this group. This is the importance of what we always talk about, which is the second and third tier, especially the second and third tier of political appointees, because they operate sort of under the cover of anonymity for the most part. A few times, someone like Victoria Nuland's head will pop up, but usually they're semi-anonymous, and that gives them a lot more leeway to pursue their pet projects, and you can be sure that one of these is regime change. But one final thing I wanted to mention on what you said. Now, the two stories are separate but very closely related, about the Iran disinformation and also about this fake account, the Alavi account. They're both doing the same things. They're both spreading disinformation about Iran. But, the amazing thing about the Alavi account, Hashmat Alavi, and this was an Intercept article, an article in the Intercept, based on information from a defector from the MEK. Remember the MEK, the terrorist organization that Hillary Clinton took off the terrorist list? Well, the MEK created this fake person, this Alavi, and he's out there posing as an activist, Iranian human rights activist, and he's writing lies. 61 articles in Forbes that he had, articles in the Voice of America. Even Donald Trump cited one of his articles about the Iranian economy that was a lie. So this is how deep it gets and the propaganda gets.
Aren't some of the fundamentals that journalists, when they're in school, they learn that you have to have like two verifications
yeah.
And to make sure you write a story. You just can't have one person telling you a story. Well, evidently there's not been much verification. I want to read a last sentence or two of the article that was in the Independent. Because it points out some of the frustrations that we have in getting information out. And this is a quote from Dylan Williams, vice president of the left-leaning Jewish American organization J Street. And he told The Independent this: it's an outrage that the Trump administration was funneling taxpayers' dollars to a smear campaign accusing U.S. citizens of dual loyalty to a foreign regime. Well, we've heard that kind of talk before. But then he concludes in the article, decent people wouldn't tolerate such any state-sponsored defamation if the target was Jewish Americans, and we shouldn't when the target is Iranian Americans.
Yeah.
Now, this is coming from Jewish newspaper, and it seems like there's a blind spot for some people, when this happens. So I'm always glad to see, a more objective approach to this, and maybe this whole episode will get more objectivity in watching what they're doing and encourage our members of Congress to respond.
People need to demand more transparency. But, we talked about this before, too. Probably the only reason we're hearing this is because they got caught. This group was dumb enough to put it on the website. They usually try to hide it. But the other thing is what this group was accusing others of. This is something that you've been accused of for years. We get accused of all the time. We go on places like RT. We go on TV shows in Turkey and elsewhere around the world, And it's always the same if you're not towing the neocon line. How much are you getting paid? How much is Putin paying you? You know, and as you know, we go on places like RT to do the message we're doing right here. No one pays us, you know. And so this is the kind of thing they say, hey, how much does the Ayatollah pay you for saying that? And it has the effect of just simply silencing speech. No more debate.
Fortunately, though, on a slightly more positive note, that's the minority.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, our viewers are very much up on this. But it is true. We get them. And it isn't, it's every human being doesn't like to hear those accusations because they're challenging your character.
Yeah.
So it means we just have to be more certain that we know what we believe and present the case. And viewers and others will have to make their decisions. And I think when they're exposed to the foreign policy that we talk about, the response is very good.
Yeah.
I'm always convinced, too, that, and I mention this a lot in campaigning, that young people have a more open mind when it came to the Federal Reserve. Teenagers, yeah, that makes sense. And on foreign policy, yeah, that makes sense. You're spending all this money and dumping this debt on us and starting wars. But when you're locked in and you have to weigh all these issues politically and economically, and yeah, what would it do to if we don't sell weapons to Iran? They might cancel some orders and jobs will be lost.
Jobs.
You know, and it's that kind of stuff that we have to call attention to. That's why I still think that our job is to continue to do what we're doing. And if it's being well received, I think the message will spread, and we sense that our numbers
yeah.
keep growing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like we don't have to say not like CNN because we might be like we might be up to CNN pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to just close by giving a few more details. I announced yesterday that we're selling tickets for our conference on August 24th in Washington, D.C. Just a couple more details to get you to get your tickets right away. We're offering early bird tickets between now and July 10th. Get them right away. We're actually selling these tickets now for less than last year, and last year was among the lowest years we're selling. So get a bargain, grab your tickets now. $70, you get a whole day of great speakers, you get a great lunch, you know, to be honest, everyone is complimented the lunch, good lunch, coffee, tea, refreshments through the day. You know, it's just an amazing deal. We keep the prices very low because we have some very nice sponsors that help us do that. But that means we need to have you there, get your tickets. The kinds of things we talk about every day on the Liberty Report, these are going to be front and center on the stage. Current events, important things, a new foreign policy of peace. We really want to see you there in Washington. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org/conference. That'll give you all the details and a little bit of a rationale for why we're doing it. Look forward to seeing you in August.
You know, that sounds like a good program and a good place to go. I think I'm going to go.
Oh, good.
I'm going to go. I'm going to be there.
I'm glad, because you were already listed. So
yeah. No. Oh, okay. I don't want to break my contract. But I always like to go there because we get a bit of a charge because we meet a lot of people that have seen us and we haven't seen them, and they come for that reason. So those are good signs. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. And just remember, a story like we had today is important, and spreading that message is important. And it's always a similar message, and that is why non-intervention and minding our own business and working within a budget and protecting liberties and protecting an American tradition, which is a lot different than this exceptionalism that is pushed on people by bombs and threats. So we really believe in this, and we enjoy doing it. I do enjoy it because I think it's more fun than doing things where I don't see any results at all. Sometimes it's very tedious, but it's very rewarding when we meet people and talk to people who say, keep going. And we see our message on the internet, always encouraging us. And that is always very good. So I want to thank those of you who have given us the support, and hopefully we'll see you at our conference. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.